Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, November the 15th, the Ides of November. It doesn't mean much, does it? All right, well, welcome. The Ides of November. Well, you know what that means, that it is a week and a day away from Thanksgiving. So, 2023. Let's get that straight for you time travelers. Those of you in the past listening to this in the future, thank you. Those of you in the future listening to this in the past, don't get confused. Confusion is easy, and often. So, remember to brush and floss. In the future, you won't have to worry about that, I'm sure, because they'll have special tooth gadgets that will keep you from having to brush and floss. I'm sure of that. I'm pretty sure of that, anyway. So, how are you doing? I hope you're doing fine on this middle of November. Actually, just kind of right in the middle of November, the 15th. There are 30 days in November. And then comes December. And boy, oh boy, yahoo, we're on our way. Where to? Well, it depends on where you're going. Depends on from whence you came. And this is the holiday season. I grew up in this here country, and it's the holiday season around these here parts, as they say. And that's just the way it goes. Yeah. Are you sensing a little nasal? Well, you're right. Still hanging on. Like a monkey in a tree. Just won't let go yet, but better every day. So that's the good news. The good news. You believe in good news? Do you believe in good news? Do you believe in belief? Do you believe and trust in your future? There's a question for you. Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? Do you? Do you? Well, the Lovin' Spoonful asked that question quite a while ago. And the answer seemed to be yes. A lot of people believed in magic. It was a popular song. But I believe in magic, and I believe in magic, and I think that it's an important thing to talk about from time to time. These are some very incendiary times. Troubling times. Troubled times. And I wish 'twern't so. Boy, oh boy, howdy, do I wish it weren't so. But no amount of wishing it weren't so will make it so. That's just the way it goes. It is a troubling time that we're living in right now. And I think that we can all make it a little bit less troubling if we kind of try to put our energy and our minds and our thoughts to better things. And what are those better things? Peace and love. And hope, and we have to believe in some things. Now, a lot of people give up on their belief systems, and that's easy to do. We get frustrated, we get angry, we get annoyed, we lose trust, and we lose faith, and we lose hope in our futures. And when that happens, we kind of are like dandelion seeds. You know, you get that little puff ball, and we blow those dandelion seeds, and they're pretty, and it's fun, but what you're doing is you're blowing those seeds off into everywhere. And sometimes the wind will catch them, and it'll blow dandelions, and unless you're planning on making some wine or gathering them up for a dandelion burdock salad, well, you're kind of spreading those weeds or plants, depending upon whether you want them or not. Around. So I think it's more important to keep track of what it is that you want in life and to say, I have a belief system. Now, I've been doing this work, and it is work, for a long, 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 long time. And it's important to keep in mind that you have to keep your mind in mind. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, when I was a kid, I got my first yo-yo about the age of 5 years old. It was a Duncan Imperial. It was kind of a bluish color, light blue, and it was, you couldn't see through it. Back in the olden days, they made them out of out of kind of a an opaque plastic, and it was pretty. And it was a big deal because it cost 99 cents. A lot of yo-yos were made out of wood, and they were a quarter, 15 cents, a quarter. But that was the one I wanted. I wanted an Imperial, and my dad got me an Imperial. And in Egypt, they call them yo-yos. You know, not yo-yo, but yo-yo. And he liked the yo-yo, so he got me one, and my mom was like, oh, he's going to break everything. And got it at Walgreens, and that's where I got all my yo-yos when I was a kid. Go there every season because they broke or they got taken away. More often, they got taken away at school. I never did learn, actually. But I remember watching TV, and we had these local shows, you know, Fred and Faye and Sheriff Scotty and all that type of thing. And I remember watching TV when I was a kid, and we had a guy, he was one of the Duncan reps, a guy named Gus Samara. And they had a lot of Filipino fellas who used to come around, and they would do yo-yo tricks. They were demonstrators, and then they'd sell yo-yos. And they would just cause an absolute, you know, you'd go nuts. Now, they weren't all Filipinos. There was a guy named Barney Akers, and he was amazing. He was amazing. So was Gus, and, you know, guys like Skeeter BB, and all these guys had, you know, come up through the ranks, and they'd go around the country. And I said, someday I'm going to do that. I'm going to be a Duncan yo-yo man. And I was sure of it. I was 5 years old. I'd watch this guy on TV, and they had commercials showing all these guys, and they were doing all these great tricks. And I'd say, I'm going to do every one of those tricks someday. And I'm going to work for Duncan Yo-Yos, and I'm going to be a yo-yo man. And I just knew it. You know it. You feel it. And you get this sense of future. Well, I would tell people, say, you know what, one of these days, and I never stopped telling people that. They'd say, what are you going to do? I'd say, one thing I know for sure is I'm going to be a tarot reader, because I wanted to do that from the time I was about 5 or 6, because I saw it on TV. And I thought, I want to do that. And I was smart enough not to vocalize that, because that was not going to be taken well by my mom. I knew that, or probably by my dad either. It's like, wait a minute, you know, we don't really want that. But I felt it. It was a vibration. I knew it to be true. 1967, February. I'll never forget. It was a cold, cold morning. I was getting ready for school, and a song came on the radio. And it was Hello, Hello by the Sopwith Camel. And I said, my goodness, that is the friendliest song I have ever heard. That is something I've never heard before, that song. It is friendly, and it is cool, and it feels like something new is about to happen. I used that song for my other radio show, Out of Mo's Mind, as my theme song for years and years. And that song was the first song of the hippie movement. It was the first song to kind of announce that there was something happening, something new. And I thought, man, that is for me. Now, I was in the seventh grade. I was 13 years old. But I said, you know what? That is going to be who I am. You feel something. You feel a connection to something that is part of your destiny, part of your future. Or is it something you decide and you think to yourself, I'm going to make it part of my future? Who knows? Who knows what it is? Is that the way it goes? Or is it just something else? Is it magic? Is it that you feel something and the vibration sets in and you make your mind up? And you believe, and that belief is so incredibly strong, so unbelievably vibrational, that it just, you know, there is that vibrational sympathy, that sympathetic vibration of things. Let's say you have a tuning fork set at 440. I think that's A. I could be wrong, but I think it is. Set at A440. Now, if I'm wrong, don't, you know, it's been a long time. But you set that thing, you go boom, you know, boom. I have relative pitch, not perfect pitch. But you set that thing off, and I'm a little stopped up here. But you set that off, and you have another tuning fork not too far away. You set that 440 going, and if you've got one about 3 feet away or so, or even less sometimes, or more sometimes, it'll begin to vibrate. Well, why? Because those vibrations will go through the air, and they'll find a sympathetic tuning fork, and it'll begin to vibrate at the same vibration. Now, why wouldn't that be true with what we do? Isn't that true with people? Don't you find people who have a sympathetic vibration with you? Don't you find people who have a sympathetic sense of purpose that you do? I mean, when I was in college, man, I came back from California after my first year of college, and I got back, and a friend of mine died that first year. I wasn't back all that long, as a matter of fact. He died in February of 73. Was it 73? 74, maybe. 74, yeah, 74. And it just crushed me. He was a real close friend of mine. He didn't die drugs or anything like that. As a matter of fact, he was a straight arrow. But we'd been very, very close. Very, very close. My God, I loved him. And he died in an airplane crash. He was going to be a pilot. And didn't work out. And I went into a tailspin. You know, well, that was a poor choice of words, but I did. I was really impacted by it. I was really messed up for quite a while. And I didn't realize that was it. I didn't have any idea. Nowadays, I think they would have gotten me some counseling, and I think it would have helped. I sought other things for my counseling. I went into an existential crisis at the age of 20. You know, I was 19 when he died, and so was he. I went into an existential crisis, which was, why am I still here when my good friend Jack died? You know, I loved him, and he loved me, and we'd, you know, from sixth grade on, we'd been, you know, almost best friends, and sometimes best friends. And then, you know, he was a lot more mature than I was. I went on one road, which was, you know, kind of like this man, and, you know, that sort of thing, and he did not. Straight A student, National Honor Roll. Hey, Mo, how are your grades? Huh? What? What do you mean, man? I didn't do that. You know, it's okay. Settle down. So he went one road and I went the other. For reasons that were pretty different. But, I mean, he was so close that he called my mom and dad, Mom and Dad, you know. That's how close we were. He lived two doors down from me. And I just, man, I was messed up by it. Because here's this guy who was so great and had such potential in life and gone. And so I went into this crazy, just weird place where I didn't really care about much of anything. It was 2 years of that, and I didn't want to do much of anything. And I found myself wandering in this place of danger. Because when you get in that place, you no longer have a sense of purpose or drive, And those lines that you've had all your life, you know, I'm going to be a yo-yo man, or I'm going to be a tarot reader, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. I'd wanted to get into acting. I wanted to get into stage. I loved stage theater. You know, I loved getting on the, you know, and performing and doing plays. I'd done a lot of plays, a lot of theater work. And I really loved it. And I thought I really wanted to get into that. And suddenly, I just didn't want to do much of anything. And I was probably really, you know, depressed and needed some sort of help. But instead, I'm not going to get into what finally helped me to get through that. But now today they're finding out that what I did is really quite helpful. But I'm not going to get into it right now. Someday we'll talk about that. But I could see those threads of my future. They were going off into that future, and I realized I can either stick with those or not. What actually happened was that my dad got a job, different job, and I was given the option, man, you can come with us. My dad didn't call me man, but you know. You can come with us to Louisiana. You can start going back to school. You can, you know, or not. And I felt this great pull to do that. Now, there are times in our lives when we have opportunities that seem very reasonable, that seem exciting, you know, that seemed pretty wonderful. And I was excited for the first time in a long time. I thought, wow. I had never thought of moving to Louisiana. You know, I'd seen Easy Rider. Now, I don't know if you've seen Easy Rider, but the end of that movie where Dennis Hopper and Peter Fonda get blown to bits with a shotgun happens in Louisiana. You know, somewhere around Monroe, Louisiana. And of course, the guys who did it were pretty good guys, you know, obviously. Pardon me, I've got a little sip of coffee here. Oh, that's good. It's decaf, and it's really, really good. You know, change. I'm okay with change. I didn't used to be, but I'm all right with change now. I used to fight against it. Man, I would dig in my heels and just scream like a banshee, you know. The banshee. We'll have to talk about banshees someday. Kind of scary in some ways, you know. But so there I was, and I could feel those things that had been tugging at me as a kid, as a young man, tugging again. And I thought, I think I'll do this. And I ended up meeting an entire psychic community. I ended up meeting in that psychic community, now get this, one of the champion yo-yo guys in Louisiana, who was currently an elevator repairman. Now get that, up and down and up and down. And he was a brilliant yo-yo guy. He was really, really good, and a sweetheart too. And he saw auras. And he saw auras as easily as you and I see an eye chart. Well, I don't see them that well, but. And you realize that if a line comes by, you got to grab it, you know. Now, just a couple of weeks before we were getting ready to move, it might have been a couple of months before we were getting ready to move south. I met a girl. The moment I laid eyes on that girl, and she was 18 years old, and I was 20. Moment I laid eyes on her, I fell in love. And it was not lust, it was love. And it's the hardest thing in the world to explain. There was nothing logical about it. It was the strangest thing I'd ever experienced. It was complete and total, head over heels, complete. I mean, it was just weird. There was not a thing I could do about it. I persisted. And she went out with me, and eventually we ended up getting married and having 2 kids and 5 grandchildren, and we're no longer married. The marriage lasted, you know, a while, over a decade, almost 2. But it was never really what I hoped it would be. Broke my heart. Broke my heart. But it was that instantaneous sort of zing, you know? Now, I'm known for those instantaneous zings. Now, the other person, she didn't like me in the beginning. Turned out, I don't think she ever liked me at all, but that's a different story. Maybe she did. I don't know. I can't speak for her. But boy, I've got lovely kids and beautiful grandchildren, and yay. 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 That's magic. You feel that, and I don't know. I mean, I've got to say that no regrets, you know. No regrets. You just say, this is my life. But you feel that tug of the future. You know, my current wife. I was doing readings at the 12,000 bookstore, and I had a reading, and, you know, she came in, and we were doing this reading, and halfway through it, I said, wait a minute, what aren't you telling me? I probably shouldn't be telling this story. And she said, what do you mean? I said, there's something going on here. 30 years later, you know. It's that zing, that destiny, it's that line. Things happen. You see a photograph of somebody or someone, you know, you get an email and you think, there's something about this. You know, something going on here. I can't quite put my finger on it. You know, something's there. You should follow it until you say, oh, no, that's nothing. Or, wow, what is going on here? You should follow the breadcrumbs until the birds have eaten them and you're lost in the woods. You know. You know what that's about. We are intuitive if we allow ourselves to be. And that intuition will lead us where we are supposed to go. All right? We have to remember that we are not like other people. We're just not. If we give in to other people's fears, if we give in to other people's ideas, if we give in to their way of looking at the world, then we are just like other people. But, my friend, and you know you're listening to me, my friend, you and I are not like other people. We're like other people like us, but we're not like everybody else. And why aren't we? Well, because we're just not built the same way. We weren't meant to be the same. So, you know, we dress up like them, or else they, you know, we don't have to. I was driving out of my subdivision the other day, and there was a man standing on an island, you know, not a literal island, you know, a median strip in the road, and he was about to cross so he could get to a sidewalk. And so I stopped to let him go. He was wearing a kilt with, I think, a Campbell tartan. And there's nothing wrong with that. I've got a kilt. And I used to look damn good in it. That was many, many years ago. At least I was told I looked good in it. And he was standing there with his 2 little dogs. He had 2 little dogs. And he had on a tank top shirt and kinky boots. And I thought, good for you, man. You look different. And you look splendid. Now, I don't know if he's a carpenter or if he's a Scotsman or what he is. Doesn't matter. He likes, and I've seen him around, and he dresses the way he wants to dress. I mean, once upon a time, I wore overalls, a big red bandana, my black Tom Mix cowboy Stetson, you know, with the big thumb crease down the middle and the thumb-rolled rim, and I looked wild with my long hair and my beard, and I mean, I just looked, well, I was a freak. I was a hippie freak. And I thought I looked normal. You know, I looked like me. I was me. We have to dress the way we... And that's, by the way, that's the meaning of the word freak out. It wasn't like, ah, he freaked out. No, 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 no. Freaking out was becoming your natural freak. It was just being who you were. It was just suddenly one day becoming yourself. He became his natural freak, you know? And when I became my natural freak, I had never felt so comfortable in my life. You know, in my suede sneakers, I just felt so comfortable. I really did. And it was a grand place to be, just being me. And, you know, I got followed in stores and I had people screaming at me, hey, hippie, and I just thought, well, there's nothing wrong with that because they're pretty accurate. You know, I agreed with that tribe. And, you know, it's like, wow. I mean, that was a long time ago. When I stop and think about how long ago that was, it's startling. But the mindset is still there. I'm not like other people, you know. I saw a picture of myself about 30, 40 years ago. Man, I had hair. Lots of hair. Lots of it. And my beard. There wasn't a white hair in it. Now there's no black hairs in it anymore. I would play Santa. You know, do Santa Claus gigs. And I'd have to use like two entire things of shoe polish, white shoe polish, liquid shoe polish. And I'd have to use two of those to make my beard white. And it looked great, except that, you could open a can with my beard. It was so stiff after that, you know. Now it's soft and pure white. Time. Time changes everything. And I had a hot head back then sometimes. I mean, I was okay. I was still, I think, a pretty good guy, but I could have a hot head. Time changes us. Time can make us impatient. We want things sometimes before they're ready, you know? We want things before they're ready, before they're ripe. And if we pick them before they're ripe, well, some fruits do ripen off the vine, off the tree. Others don't. Now, when it comes to what we're talking about, magical things, some are fine. You can pick them. Others don't. They don't. So you have to be ready for the consequences of saying, I'm not waiting anymore. I can't wait anymore. I thought I understood how this was going to go, but I have found that you've got to be patient. If you really believe in something, if you believe in yourself, you've got it about 95% licked. If you believe in yourself, and what does that mean? Well, you know what you can do. You know what you can do, and you know what you can't do, right? Like, I'm pretty sure that there's not a whole lot of yoga that I can do. Because you would hear the snapping of bones wherever you are. You would hear that. I'm pretty sure of that. But there are a lot of things I can do. I'm a pretty good meditator. And I'm a pretty good shaman. I can go places. I can travel. I've seen things that have proven to be absolutely correct. I've gotten messages that have been so clear, that have stunned me in their accuracy, things I could not have known. Not have known ever. Just like, wow, where did that come from? Well, I know it's not for me. So I was shown something, not by me, but by something else. See, now the most dangerous thing in this work is to get a swollen head. Because then your head won't fit through certain things and you'll get caught there. That's metaphoric, okay? But you get it, don't you? You don't want your head to get caught somewhere, because if it gets caught, well, if it gets stuck, well, you're in trouble. Trust me, you're in trouble. This is such a gift that we have, this life of ours. We have to stay aware, and we have to stay alert, and we have to be cognizant of the fact that there are people who are always going to look at us and go, what is it with them? What is it about them? Right? What is it about you? What is it about you that makes you so different than everybody else? Now, some of you don't look any different. Right? Some of you could blend in without any problem. I'm reaching in my pocket here. I'm getting a mala. I feel like a mala. I always feel like a mala, like a string of beads strung together. Sometimes I even look like a string of beads strung together. Oh, my hand. I had not realized how inked up my hand is, and I even washed it pretty good. I was filling up my fountain pens. I use fountain pens because I love using fountain pens. Green and orange, kind of. Sherwood green is one of the colors that I'm using. I love that color. It is really, I mean, look at the name, Sherwood Green. You know, something Robin Hood might use. And the other one is called, it's called Apache Red. I think they've changed the name to Southwest, not Apache Red, Apache Sunset, I'm sorry. I think they've changed it to Southwest Sunset, maybe to be more politically correct, but that's what it's called. I like ink. I like ink. I like fountain pens. I like writing. You know, there's a different process with longhand than with printing or with italic or italic, depending on how hoity-toity you feel. So, connecting with our ability to create reality is just about belief. Now, most of you have created your own destiny. Some of you absolutely know that. Don't you? Some of you may not want to admit it. But it's a good thing to think about. Even the things that weren't necessarily positive, sometimes it's a good thing to consider. Now, I'm fully aware that many of the worst things that have happened in my life, not worst, just let's just say the least yuck, you know, some of the most, there's some aspects of my life that just haven't worked out great, you know. What can I say? Now, some of those, all of them, have been a matter of my decisions. And I haven't always made the right decisions, or the best decisions, or the clearest decisions, or the wisest, or the most knowledgeable, or whatever. But I think that those are based upon, you know, it's not, it's based upon, now I'm not saying that I'm snake bit. I'm not. I'm saying that I know exactly what I'm doing. And that I do it for a very specific reason. You get it, don't you? You get it. I'm a little bit of a hermit. And whether you might believe it or not, I am a loner. An introvert. I'm definitely an introvert. When I go to a party, which is infrequent, I haven't been to a party since long before COVID. I've been to parties. After a while, people have a tendency to no longer invite me because I'm not overtly or overly social. I'll sit and I'll watch. I love watching people. And I'll talk. It's not like I sit there and, you know, I ask weird questions. For example, I met Louise Hay at a party. And one of the questions I asked her is, what is it like to be famous? And she looked at me with incredulity, and she said, I don't think of myself as being famous. And I thought, how is that possible? You know? How is that possible? Now, I saw someone just the other day who said the same thing, who was very famous. I don't think of myself as being famous. I think it was Oprah. And I thought, well, that's weird. How can you not think of yourself as being famous when you are one of the most famous people in the world, you know? For me, fame would be an incredible responsibility. I mean, when I lived in Baton Rouge, I met a psychic. Her name was Midge Soderberg, and her son is the director, Steven Soderberg. And she predicted everything that happened to him. Every little thing. She said, you're going to see him win an Oscar, and he's going to be a well-known director, and he's going to make great films and you know, honest films. And I you know, yeah. Yeah. A good guy, good kid. I've only communicated with him once as an adult after his success. And sweet man, you know. You may notice that tarot cards actually appear in his films, you know, and the Crowley deck at that, which I think is interesting. But she made some predictions about me, and I wasn't overly excited about them, because one of them was about, you know, well, I'm not going to get into it, but the point is that there was a choice there. Huh. The only reason I would ever want to be wealthy, and I don't ever think fame would be something I would opt for. I've actually turned it away a few times. And the only reason I would opt for wealth would be to give it away. You know, I read that Michael Sheen, the actor, has done that. He's basically, the money that he makes, he basically just gives away as quickly as he can make it. And I think that's incredibly honorable. I think that there is a real problem with holding on to things. For some reason, Moby Dick comes to mind. Wow, wonder what that's about. This idea of this immense amount of natural resource and trying to capture it. You know, Ahab is in the story of Moby Dick, is going after Moby Dick for vengeance. because Moby Dick severed his leg. And he's going after him for vengeance. Huh. And Moby Dick, of course, is nature. What is it about us, we human beings, that we try to thumb our noses at nature? I saw a picture of Donald Trump Jr. And a dead giraffe. And it really upset me. And I know. It gets, you know, people say it's great because it brings money to this, you know, reserve, and they need, and I've seen other people with people I know who have pictures of themselves with dead polar bears and other creatures, and it just makes me crazy. And my father was a veterinarian, and he taught at a vet school, and I saw things there that made me cry. In the name of science. And it was one of the main reasons that I decided not to be a vet, you know. Because, yes, you do save a lot of lives and so on, but at the same time, I saw things that made it to where I couldn't sleep. You know, I just don't have that heart. And kind of, I don't know, I don't, he... We talked about it. He'd get mad at me because I would challenge, and he'd get mad at me. I won't even tell you what I saw in the name of science. But, and there are things happening now on this planet in the name of nationalism, in the name of security, in the name of peace. So why aren't we using our magic to help that, to change that outcome, to turn sad news into good news? I think we can. I think we can turn things around. But we have to believe in ourselves and our abilities first. Now, this doesn't mean, you know, I was thinking about just today, how when you have something that's incredibly valuable and incredibly powerful or possibly powerful, there's always someone who comes along who says, "That's mine. It belongs to me. I need it." And I'm referring to something in a museum, let's say. I've known people who've done things like that, who've kicked in a case and stolen something out of a museum saying, "That's mine, it belongs to me, I'm supposed to have it." Literally. There have been people who have done things like that. And of course, it's a huge... I remember once I was going to buy a thigh bone trumpet from a store up in Boulder called Old Tibet. I don't even know if Old Tibet is still open. You know, I don't even know. But it was on the Boulder Mall, which is a far out place, cool place. But they had prayer wheels and all anything you could want from Tibet. And they had a human thigh bone trumpet covered in snake skin. And I said to the gentleman who owned it, I said, "Could I look at that?" He said, "Sure." And it's used in specific rituals. Won't get into it here. But I said, "Do you mind if I blow this?" He said, "Well, if you can." And it was a double hole trumpet. So you blow in one side, and it's a femur, and it had two holes on the end. And he said, "People usually can't make it work. I've never heard anyone make it work." And I put it to my lips and I blew it. And it blew, and it was loud, and it was this incredibly eerie sound that came out of it, and everyone in the place just froze. And I said, "That's enough." And he said, yeah. He said, "Do you want it?" I said, "I absolutely do want it, but I can't afford it." It was like $200. And $200 to me, you know, it's a lot of money. And back at the time, that was probably 40 years ago. And so I really did want it, but we didn't have the, you know, it was too much. I pondered it and wanted, and finally, eventually, saved up the money and said, "I'm going to go get that thigh bone trumpet because I know how to use it." You see, not that I would use it, but I felt that it was a tool, a magical tool. I have some other Tibetan items that I use, have used, don't use now, but know how. And so I'm not a Buddhist, Tibetan Buddhist. I just, there's some things that are just kind of wonderful to have, you know. So I went there and I said, he said, "Oh, you." And I said, "Yeah, me." I said, "I'm going to get another prayer wheel and I want that trumpet." He said, "Okay." He said, "I feel comfortable selling it to you." And he said, "I actually kind of put it away." And he was looking around, and they looked, and it was gone. And he said, oh, no. And he looked, and he asked the, you know, the people who worked with him, and he said, "Did anyone sell this?" And they said, "No." He said, "Someone stole it." And there was this long silence between everybody. And he said, "That is too bad." I said, "Why?" He said, "You'd never want to steal a piece like that." And I thought, "No, you don't." There is always someone who finds something and decides they want it because it's theirs. And you know, it's a bad idea. Bad idea. Do you know? Now, this is maybe a little off color, but do you know that the penis of Tutankhamun is missing? Yeah. Someone stole the boy king's penis. Yeah. Imagine that. Now, I'm sure supposedly Napoleon's is missing as well. You know. I mean, horrible, horrible things that we human beings apply some sort of meaning to. I've had people offer me sacred items. Valuable things. And I've said, "No way, man. No. You keep that away from me." Because why? Because they weren't mine. More than once. Maybe because they knew they had something they couldn't handle. Magic is real. People make the mistake of thinking that it isn't. Or they think they can handle it, but they can't. We have to understand how real it is. And how once we begin to live with it, and some of us have been living with it for most of our lives, we live with it at the same time as we live with the real world. Sometimes, it's the world we recognize more. And some people will never completely understand that. But they don't have to, do they? See, that's the point. That's the point. I saw a piece today on the some morning show, where they were talking about a family, a 77-year-old grandmother, her daughter, and her two daughters, who all came to Colorado, where mushrooms, psychedelic mushrooms, are legal. And they did it through a counselor, and they all did mushroom tea. and for anxiety, and they did it as therapy, and they put these headphones on with a preloaded program, and they put masks on, you know, like sleep masks, and they wore snugglies, and they wrapped up in blankets and laid down, and it was like a four-hour trip, and it's like, and it's for, you know, therapy, and I'm sure it works pretty darn well, but back in the day, this stuff was done for different reasons. Spiritual reasons, and I'm not suggesting it. Don't. Unless you, no, don't. Why? Because it is potentially very dangerous. Very dangerous. But, and I understand why they put a blindfold on them. You don't want to start seeing weird stuff that you can't control, you know. But part of the problem is that sometimes what you're seeing is real. I know Mo sounds weird. Yeah, Mo is weird. You know, you should get that. But the truth is, the older I get, the more free I feel. And the more free I feel, the more truthful I'm going to be. The division between the worlds is thinner than you think. Man, right now, this world that you and I are living with, look at it. Look at it. It is, in fact, twisted. It's twisted out of shape. It's twisted to the point of being ridiculous in places. The Holy Land is a mess. You know, the land where three major religions come from. My dad said Jerusalem was a beautiful city once upon a time. He used to go there. He said the Jaffa oranges were the biggest he'd ever seen in his life and the most delicious. My God. He said the city was clean. And the people were happy. We're talking back in the 30s, you know. He said Lebanon was gorgeous. You look at the world now. War. Born out of war. World War I created World War II with the Treaty of Versailles. Why? Because of punishment. Because of Clemenceau and Lloyd George, from Little Feet. Man, he was a great guitar player. Yeah. Maybe that was his name, I don't know. The truth of the matter is that you have incredible skills. But if you give up on things, don't give up on things. That's it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Please don't give up. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Remember you're not like everybody else. Remember, you don't have to think the way they do. Remember, you don't have to be afraid. Remember, you don't have to give in. Remember, you don't have to cower. Remember, you have power. It's not some sort of, I am powerful and I will do this. That's not what it's about. It's gentle. It's kindness-based. And it's based upon simplicity. And it's based upon little tiny motions. And it's not based upon impressing people. And it's not based upon, you know, big puffs of smoke. And it's not based on that. It's based on your truth to you. Good enough. Good enough. Don't forget one other thing. I deeply and truly love you. Till next week, I wish you all peace and love. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 12th of July. July. Yeah. 2023. Oh, the year is just speeding by, isn't it? Isn't it? Already the 7th month of the 23rd year of the 21st century. And to think just a moment ago I was in Mrs. Parsons' fifth grade class at Laurel Elementary in Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, go ahead, those of you listening who want to steal my identity. I won't get you that far. And now that's been a challenge. And they'll go, yes, yes, I can do everything. Well, go ahead. I mean, really, it's the world today. Oh, the world today. Isn't it a sorry place? It's not that bad. It's weird. A lot of strange goings on. There are good people left in the world. There are good people left in the world, which was proven to me recently. Thank you again. You know who I'm talking to. So, what should we talk about today? How's the weather been? How are you feeling? How has your weather been? Wow. To those of you in Vermont, and I know that there are a couple of listeners in Vermont, Montpelier, and Vermont is a destination place. It's a destination state where people go to, like Colorado. People come to Colorado to see the mountains and to, you know, buy rock candy because we have lots of mountains and lots of rocks, and they make candy that looks like rocks. And it's good. We have saltwater taffy in Estes Park, and of course, I'm not sure what that has to do with the mountains, but it's pretty good stuff. And in Montpelier, Vermont, they have flooding, and that's Vermont is the same sort of thing. A lot of tourism. And this is the most popular time of year to be there. And so, what are they going to do? Because the flooding has been horrible. Montpelier is under.